Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Consumer Review Report here on WMCK.FM Internet Radio, a service of Tube City Online, Tube City Community Media, Inc., heard Sunday at 4 p.m. and Thursday at 9 a.m. Podcasts of these shows are available on WMCK.FM/CRR, iTunes, Google, iHeart, Spotify, and Spreaker. So if you miss any of these regular scheduled shows on WMCK.FM Internet Radio, you can catch those podcasts. All right, we are the Consumer Review Report. I'm Diane Rebecca. We deal with consumer issues, and today we are going to focus on cooking equipment. So let's see here. What do we got on the agenda today? We got a lot of audio today, a lot of reviews going on. One of the things that we will be focusing on is a slow cooker. Now, I know mine is invaluable because, you know, you just throw everything in a pot the night before. You get it out of the fridge the next morning, you turn it on. When you come home from work, everything's done. I love it. But we have audio from a video that was posted by America's Test Kitchen, and it is entitled, Should You Make Space for an Instant Pot or a Slow Cooker in Your Kitchen? So either an Instant Pot is better or a slow cooker, and they're going to let us know which one you should have. And then after that, we have audio from a video posted by Consumer Reports, and that is called The Slow Cooker's Buying Guide. So, you know, if you want to know all the bells and whistles that could go with a slow cooker, and if you need them, they might be able to tell you what that's all about. Then, we're off of the slow cooker subject and on to a audio from a video posted by Brightside that is entitled Four Types of Toxic Cookware to Avoid and Four Safe Alternatives. And then there's an equipment review, the best stainless steel skillet, our testing winners, and why all clad is worth it. Now that video was posted by America's Test Kitchen, so we'll hear from that. And then, I don't know if you've seen the commercials, but this kind of inspired my subject for today because I was sitting there watching TV and the Egg Pod commercial came on. So I will go through a review that was posted by TV Stuff Reviews. We'll hear audio from that video on the Egg Pod, the best way to peel boiled eggs. And I've told you before that I've had those egglet things that you put individual eggs into. Well, you break them in there and then you boil them. And there's no shell. It'll just hard boil in these little cups and then you take them out. And I've had pretty good success with those. But these you put in the microwave and then you take it out and you shake it up. And it's supposed to just peel very, very easily. All right. So why don't we get to our first audio from the video, Should You Make Space for an Instant Pot or a Slow Cooker in Your Kitchen? And again, this was posted by America's Test Kitchen. So let's take a listen.
I'm just going to make it sing a little song for me.
For decades, slow cookers have been a staple in our kitchens, acting like little automated grandmas cooking in the background over the course of a few hours.
However, if you've been on the internet any time in the last 5 years, you've probably heard of Instant Pot, the wildly popular multi-cooker that can pressure cook, slow cook, sear, and more.
The question is, do you really need one of these fancy, shiny new Instant Pots? Or will the little old grandma slow cooker still do just fine?
Hannah and I are gonna cook the same recipe in our winning Instant Pot and our winning slow cooker, so you can decide for yourself.
I'll go first. Let's check out the slow cooker. cookers are basically electric pots. Some have heating elements around the outside, some have heating elements underneath. They can be really nice and cozy. You know, there's something very satisfying. I still remember a ski trip where my friend threw a bunch of ingredients in the crock pot before we went out. We got back and there was like homemade warm chili, and it was like the most satisfying thing. So they can be really cool in that way. We went into our testing with a couple parameters. We love glass lids. That's one thing that was a must-have on our list. Every time you lift the lid of a slow cooker, you release heat and you slow down the cooking progress. These things already take a long time to cook, so with a glass lid, you can just peek through to check the status. You don't need to worry about releasing heat, slowing everything down. A glass lid will keep you nice and true to your recipe times, which is always useful. The other parameter was an oval shape. We love an oval shape. It's a capacity thing. You know, you can lay rib racks down. You can do whole chickens. You can just do more in an oval shape than you can in a round shape. The third criteria was size. We like 6 to 7 quart models, and that is also a capacity thing. We've also tested mini and small slow cookers, and those are great too. But we think if you're just going to choose one, a 6 to 7 quart size gives you the most flexibility in what you can make. With those parameters in mind, we found 8 models priced from $40 all the way up to $140. We cooked super delicate boneless, skinless chicken breasts, which is something, you know, that could take like an hour and a half. And then we cooked bone-in whole turkey breasts, which is sort of a mid-range thing, something around 4 hours. And then we also did big pot roasts, you know, which is something that can cook for 7 to 8 hours. Some of the models we tested were not good, not at all. You know, some of them cooked really unevenly. Some of them had hot spots, cold spots. Others really heated up too hot and boiled the food. So our winner here got food within the safe temperature range within 2 hours, which is great. It heated it up quickly enough for safety, but then it didn't go too far. It didn't heat beyond that into boiling the food, and a couple of the models did. You know, you can really get tough meats when you overcook things like that. Our winner here kept things at a braise so well for two reasons. One, it had insulation inside. You know, some of these were just very thin walls, but this one is relatively low powered with insulation. So it was able to cook nice and gently and evenly. That insulation helped keep the heat in, and it didn't have to be super powerful to get that nice braise. The second thing was an intelligent temperature sensor. So this thing has basically a second layer of brains in there that keeps the temperature in check. It keeps it from going too hot. So we weren't boiling things. If it gets too hot, you know, it'll shut it off and it'll keep it below a certain limit. They had a couple other features that we really liked. I mean, if you look at this interface here, it's so simple. It is telling you exactly what it's doing. You know, I cook, you know, I can select low, high, start, enter the time. It's very clean. Very clear, you know exactly what's going on. Slow cooking is an exercise in delayed gratification. This has been cooking for like 5 hours, but I've been off doing other things. You know, I've been cleaning my house, I've been working, and meanwhile, grandma over here has been cooking away. My house smells amazing. This pork looks like it's about done, but I really started this project hours ago. I cut up pork into 2-inch chunks. I had some orange peel, some orange zest, and some orange juice, cut an onion in half, and a bunch of herbs and spices, tossed it all together, and I really just started this, which was so easy. So turn it on, power, select the temperature, low, medium, or high, and then I set the amount of time, you know, and this took about, it's about 5 hours now. So super easy, very different than an Instant Pot and multi-cookers in general. They often have literally 20 to 30 buttons, and we're talking dials and arrows. There's a lot going on. They do a lot, so there's a lot of controls. This is a simple machine. It slow cooks. I think it's ready, so I'm gonna take a look at the pork. There is a bit of variation in slow cookers, so you always wanna make sure, you know, try it first before you call it done. But here we go. Beautiful, absolutely fork tender. It's gonna make delicious tacos. But I'm curious to see how Lisa is doing over there with our winning Instant Pot. Let's check it out.
So Instant Pots or multi-cookers are basically electric pressure cookers. There's two kinds of pressure cookers, one that goes on your stovetop, and then there's this one, which is a self-contained unit. Stovetop pressure cookers, your grandmother used them, your great-grandmother used them, but newer models are really safe. They have lots of valves that release pressure if there's any kind of problem. They will shut down. Basically, because it's a tightly sealed pot, when it's heated up, the boiling point actually rises above 212 degrees Fahrenheit. So it can go up to 250 degrees for high pressure. And that actually just makes the food cook faster. And because it's a sealed pot, you're not boiling an open stock pot or something, there's much less evaporation. So you use a little bit less liquid, and it all stays in the pot. Flavors concentrate, everything cooks very quickly, meat tenderizes, grains and beans cook very, very fast and very evenly. And really, it's a great system for cooking because you get results much quicker. We recently tested a bunch of new models of Instant Pot and all its many rivals. We tested 13 models, and they priced from about $77 to about $250 each. We looked at two sizes, 8-quart and 6-quart, and we actually came to the conclusion that our favorite pot was this one by Instant Pot. It's the Duo Evo Plus. I have the 6-quart size here in front of me. We found that you can do most recipes in the 6-quart size as well as the 8-quart size. Although we slightly prefer an 8-quart, 6 is fine. So we've done several rounds of testing of multi-cookers over the years. I think I did the first one about 10 years ago, and we've updated it ever since. This one is our favorite, and it really represents a step forward for the multi-cooker device because it has a few functions that we really love. One is this one can actually slow cook. A lot of the older ones were fine on pressure cooking, but they weren't that good at slow cooking. This one does a great job at both slow cooking and pressure cooking. So it's kind of an all-in-one. You don't really need that slow cooker, Hannah. The other thing it does really well is that it reaches its high pressure temperature a little faster than all the other ones. This one came in at least 5 minutes faster than the second fastest multi-cooker, which is great because it means it's going to get to the point of pressure cooking sooner. We also found that the display was really easy to read and understand. It was very clear, and that's helpful because some of these have like 1,000 buttons and it's not really clear what they want you to do or what they're doing, and they weren't easy to customize for your own recipes. So they had some presets, but say you wanted to follow a recipe that you found that calls for a specific time or temperature or pressure setting, this lets you do that. It also keeps the food warm afterward. The other things that we really love about it is that it has this great switch on the top for releasing pressure. In the past, you always had to like push on the device where the steam is coming out, either with your hand or a spoon or something. This keeps the steam and your hand a little bit separate, which is always a good thing. It has a stainless steel pot inside, which we love because no nonstick to worry about. You don't have to worry about that wearing off or chipping or peeling away. It's not going to change and degrade over time. So as the appliance lasts, so does the pot. This one, as you could also see, had handles. That is a big deal. Most of these pots in the past were little thin aluminum pots with nonstick, no handles. They're set down in the cooker. And when you go to take them out, say you're going to take the food out, there was almost nothing to grab with pot holders. And they would spin around while you're stirring and sauteing in them. These handles are locked in place. They're sticking out of the pot. They're covered with silicone and they're nice and cool, even when the pot is hot. So all of these things represent some nice steps forward in multi-cooker land. And this is the Instant Pot Duo Evo Plus. So you want to look for those words, Duo Evo Plus. There is a Duo Pot by Instant Pot. It's not the same one. It's not as good as this one. The one thing that we were a little bit disappointed with this pot was that the sous vide function was not very accurate. It was off just enough so that we actually overcooked things a little bit, and that was not satisfying to us. So we think you still need a separate sous vide device, but in everything else, we loved this cooker, and it was really a step forward. Hannah and I both made our recipe for shredded pork soft tacos. She did it in her slow cooker. I did it in the Instant Pot, our winner. This is really quick in the Instant Pot. I mean, you're cubing up the pork, and then you're just adding some flavorings, like 2 halves of an onion, orange juice and orange zest, oregano, a bay leaf. It's very quick. It's a dump and stir kind of recipe. You put it all in there, you turn it on, you set it for high pressure for 25 minutes. 25 minutes, not 4 hours, not 6 hours, not 9 hours, 25 minutes. At the end of 25 minutes, which goes by pretty fast, this basically will start out preheating, and it indicates right here, it'll say preheating in the front. And then when it clicks over to full pressure, You'll see a few things. One, the steam that's gently rising out of the steam valve here on top will disappear, and the little red indicator valve that the high pressure is on will go up, and it will switch over to cooking, and the timer that you set, whatever amount of time you need, I had 25 minutes, will start counting down. And you basically will, it will cook for the 25 minutes once it's hit full pressure, and then it will stop, and it will switch over to keep warm. Now you have two options with a pressure cooker at that point. You can either quick release the pressure, which just means letting out all the steam at that point and stopping the pressure in the pot, or you could do what's called a natural release, where you just leave it, and it will, over about 15 or 20 minutes, gradually cool down, and the pressure will release itself naturally. So quick release, you stop the cooking. Natural release, you leave it. This natural releases for 15 minutes, and then you quick release any pressure that's left, which just means you're flipping this little switch on the top. The last bit of steam will go out, the indicator will drop down, and that means you can open your pot and take out your food. Now, at that point in this recipe, you see chunks of pork. They're very, very tender. They're very moist, and they're simmering in a sauce that basically is created from a very small amount of liquid that you've added and the juices from the pork. And you're gonna let this cook down. So you switch over to the saute function, and it will just simmer and reduce and concentrate that liquid until it's coating the pork and it's all in there and it's really delicious. And then you're just gonna toss it around and saute it a little bit on the bottom of the pot just to brown up the little edges and crisp it up. At that point, it's tender, it's moist, it's shreddable, and you're done. And it's all happened within, 40 minutes maybe, start to finish. You're not spending hours waiting for that meat to tenderize. It's beautiful, moist, fall apart tender, and just flakes. It's amazing. So right now it's sitting here on warm, and I'm going to open it up. The little song kills me. This is amazing and beautiful. It's shredded apart into gorgeous meat that is just flavorful and tender. And wow. So I'm going to plate some tortillas. I have them in our favorite tortilla warmer by Imusa. I made these from scratch and kept them warm in here. It's great because it's insulated and keeps them just the right texture. And there it is. Beautiful, soft tacos with shredded pork from our book Multicooker Perfection. And the recipe is given both for slow cookers and also for multicookers. So you can decide if you want to cook it fast or slow. I'm a big fan of these things. I love this Instant Pot, and I like the ability to cook things quickly and really flavorfully.
As we've shown, our winning slow cooker made delicious pulled pork. It does a really good job. It's got that big, heavy-duty ceramic crock that heats very gently and evenly. It's got a really clean interface. It's super simple to operate. It tells you exactly what it's doing all the time. It's got nice audible alerts. We love that about it. But overall, if you're in the market for a new piece of equipment, we do think that you should get an Instant Pot.
We've tested multi-cookers or electric pressure cookers for a long time, almost a decade. And really, in the past, they never really could do the slow cooking. It was always something that they just fell down on. The pressure cooking aspect, we love. Basically, we love that it uses very little liquid, it seals the pot, and it's very intensely flavored, and very easy and very fast. You don't have to think 6 or 7 hours ahead the way you do with the slow cooker. You can really do a whole meal in something that would take many hours in just about an hour. So that's always a great thing. This latest model, though, really nailed the slow cooking, and that really made it great because, you don't need two separate appliances anymore.
Yeah, it's really the next generation of them. And I have to say, the ability to sear in the pot, then seal it up and cook, it's amazing how many dishes that saves. And, I think you can really get burnt out on cooking, especially right now in these times. And this really, it's like a little sous chef for me in my kitchen. The fewer dishes that I have to do, the better. And I think a good multi-cooker like our Winning Instant Pot really, really helps there.
We both know slow cookers have a few things going for them. They're great at parties. You can put them out on a buffet with some meatballs or keep your mashed potatoes warm on the holidays. But, you know, for me, I like the speed. I like the convenience of the pressure cooker a little bit more. And now that they can also slow cook, I'm moving on.
Yeah, I am too.
So for more information about all the equipment we talked about, check out the links below.
And make sure to ask us all of your Instant Pot, multi-cooker, slow cooker questions in the comments and hit that subscribe button.
Yeah, while I was listening to that, I was thinking to myself, well, what if I still needed to slow cook? And I answered that question at the end there that this Instant Pot can do both. I have both a slow cooker and a pressure cooker. If I can find something to save space and use the Instant Pot that can do both, because obviously I'm going to still need the slow cooking function for when I go to work and come back, but also have the convenience of the pressure cooker all in one, that's great. So that's something to consider. All right, so we'll move on to Consumer Reports Slow Cookers Buying Guide if you are in the market for that. So let's take a listen.
A slow cooker is truly a set-it-and-forget-it appliance, turning out whole meals with very little effort on your part. Consumer Reports home and food editor Perry Santanachote explains the options you'll find when shopping for one.
These simple appliances help make great meals with minimal effort. They just need a little bit of time. Or a lot of time, depending on how you look at it. It's the only appliance that will let you start a pot of stew in the morning, go to work all day, and come home to a hot and hearty dinner. The slow cooker's popularity doesn't seem to be winding down anytime soon, either. Crock-Pot used to be the only name in the game, but now there are over a dozen brands to choose from. Some are on the pricier side, and some are more affordable. So what are you getting for your money? The slow cookers we tested range from $30 to nearly $200, but we found the best performers cost between $70 and $100. So you don't need to pay top dollar for a top performer, but maybe don't go for the cheapest ones either. There are a handful of features that set the more expensive models apart from the cheaper ones. It mainly comes down to the settings. At the $30 end of the spectrum are manual slow cookers. These ones are pretty much plug-and-play appliances. You have the option of high heat, low heat, maybe a keep warm setting.
There's no timer, and the cooker's not going to stop cooking until you manually turn it off.
Now, at a higher price point, you're truly getting a set it and forget it experience. Programmable slow cookers allow for more flexibility, such as delayed start function, timed cooking that automatically switches to the keep warm setting, and some even have the ability to brown your meats and vegetables directly in the slow cooker. This is a really nice feature. Browning is something you should be doing anyway to enhance the flavors of your soups and stews. With most models, you would have to dirty another pan on the stove, but being able to do it directly in your slow cooker is a big plus. Another great feature you might see are these temperature probes. You stick into your roast, and then once the internal temperature reaches the desired level, the cooker will automatically switch to keep warm and prevent your meat from overcooking. Past CR tests have found that any slow cooker can do a great job with chicken. But the real challenge? Beef stew with potatoes and carrots. We put each slow cooker to the test to see how tender and flavorful it could get the stew on high heat for 5 hours and then on low heat for 8 hours. It turns out the more expensive models don't necessarily cook better than the cheap ones. They're just more convenient. In our test, a $30 slow cooker turned out beef stew just as tasty as a $100 model did. There are also factors worth considering that don't necessarily align with price points. For one, the shape of your slow cooker. An oblong cooker accommodates large cuts of meats and racks of ribs with ease, but they eat up a lot of storage space. If you plan to just make soups with your slow cooker, a round one may be a better fit. The size is also important to consider. A 6-quart capacity is most common, and recipes usually are written for this size, but you can find slow cookers that fit more than 8 quarts and as little as 1.5 quarts. So choose the size that makes the most sense for your household. Lastly, if you're cooking for potlucks, look for a slow cooker with a locking lid and a carrying handle. It'll make transport so much easier. but you may also want to check how much the thing weighs. We've tested models anywhere between 7 and 17 pounds, and that's even before we added the food. So if you're ready to commit to a slow cooker, consider your budget and which features I mentioned are most important to you. For more information and a full list of our slow cooker ratings,
check out cr.org/slowcookers.
We pay for all the products we test, we're a nonprofit, and we accept no advertising. Thanks for your support.
All right, and they had some bells and whistles on some of those, like the temperature probes, which I don't have. I have a oblong Black & Decker slow cooker, and I have cooked potatoes, carrots, and a roast in it, and it's so delicious. And also, if you put in one of those slow cooker bags to put your stuff in instead of directly on the canister, it cooks just as well, and cleanup is a breeze. You know, you don't have to clean out that crock. So, I mean, I love my slow cooker for sure. But the Instant Pot might be something to consider anyways. All right, so that'll do it for our slow cooker segment. We're moving on to our just cooking equipment in general. And we have audio from a video entitled Four Types of Toxic Cookware to Avoid and Four Safe Alternatives. This was posted by Brightside, so let's take a listen.
Four types of toxic cookware to avoid and four safe alternatives. Most people these days are well aware of the importance of eating healthy. However, not everyone knows that the cookware you use to prepare your dishes is just as important as the food itself. Even the healthiest diet can result in severe health complication if your pots and pans are toxic. If you're ready to find out what those dangers are, which cookware to avoid, and what safer alternatives you can replace them with, then keep on watching. 1. Teflon cookware. Teflon is probably the biggest offender on this list, so we'll start off strong. Many people choose this non-stick material because it's convenient and easy to find, yet they have no idea that it's also the most dangerous. The non-stick properties of Teflon cookware are achieved with a coating of PTFE, or polytetrafluoroethylene. This is a plastic polymer that, when heated above 572 degrees Fahrenheit, starts to release toxins. These toxic fumes lead to flu-like symptoms called polymer fume fever, informally known as Teflon flu. People begin to suffer from headaches, chills, and high temperature. Because Teflon fumes do the most damage on the lungs, people usually feel tightness in their chest and start coughing. The symptoms don't even appear right after a person has breathed in the fumes, but a couple of hours later. And it's not just dangerous to people. Teflon fumes are also fatal to pet birds, like parrots. Another chemical compound found in Teflon cookware is PFOA, or perfluorooctanoic acid. This man-made chemical is also known as C8. It's especially threatening since it tends to stay in the body, as well as the environment, for long periods of time. Recent studies, both in the lab and on humans, have found a link between this substance and several types of cancer, including breast, prostate, and ovarian cancer. While it's believed that the PFOA present in Teflon products is in such small amounts that it poses no threat to people, it's worth noting that this stuff is also found in tons of other things you come in contact with every single day, like the water you drink. The amount depends on the area where you live, but in any case, it's best to limit your exposure to PFOA if you can. You can find non-stick cookware that's free of PTFE and PFOA, but it's usually coated with something like granite. This coating is safe to use as long as it's intact, but unfortunately, it's thin and chips easily. As soon as it starts coming off, you have to stop using that cookware item immediately. Try this safe alternative instead: real cast iron. This is a non-toxic cooking option that truly withstands the test of time. It heats well and evenly throughout. Plus, cast iron cookware even comes in non-stick varieties. It doesn't leak anything toxic into your food and is actually a nice natural way to increase your body's iron levels. And if your body doesn't need an iron boost, then you can try enameled cast iron cookware, which is just as safe and convenient to use. 2. Aluminum cookware and aluminum foil. It's no surprise that aluminum is so widely used. Besides being the most abundant metal out there, it's also very strong, lightweight, versatile, and recyclable. However, it's not without hidden dangers. Aluminum is a neurotoxic material. Elevated levels of aluminum in the body have been linked to several nervous system diseases, including Alzheimer's and ALS. Though aluminum cookware is usually coated, the coating is prone to chipping, allowing the toxic metal to get right into your food. As for aluminum foil, using it while cooking is even more dangerous. In fact, there's an established safe amount of aluminum the human body can manage daily, and that's 20 milligrams per pound of body weight a day. When you wrap your food in aluminum foil and cook it this way, the amount of this substance that leaks into the food significantly exceeds the permissible level. And if you add acidic lemon to the fish you're baking, it starts aggressively breaking down layers and layers of aluminum, letting them seep into your dinner. That's why you should use foil only to wrap cold foods and leftovers in. Try this safe alternative instead, glass cookware. This is another safe option to consider. It'll never release anything toxic when heated, it doesn't hold on to any old flavors or odors, and it's not only durable, but also eco-friendly. The only downside of glass cookware is that it isn't non-stick, but that's just a small price to pay for your health and safety. 3. Copper cookware. You've probably seen copper cookware in stores and noticed how pretty it was. You're likely to have heard of its amazing conductive properties that allow for quick and even heating. But did you know that copper can actually be dangerous when used in cookware? Just like with a lot of metals, the human body needs copper in small amounts. But if the body gets too much of the stuff, it can lead to life-threatening complications. And copper cookware, especially when it isn't coated, can easily send you to the ER with a bad case of metal poisoning. And that's because it can release copper when you cook acidic foods. So if you've just enjoyed some fish and lemon juice or stewed tomatoes cooked with an uncoated copper pot, and you find yourself suffering from extremely unpleasant symptoms such as vomiting blood, lightheadedness, yellowy skin, or gastrointestinal distress, among others, call 911 immediately. And even if your cookware is coated, the coating often contains nickel, which is another toxic element. Nickel exposure can lead to problems with the liver and kidneys. It can also cause high blood pressure, heart disease, and an increased risk of lung cancer. Try this safe alternative instead, stainless steel. This is a great cookware option. It's relatively lightweight, scratch resistant, and comes in non-stick varieties. It'll also last you a really long time. Just make sure you're buying food-grade stainless steel, since this is the only type that doesn't contain any nickel or chromium. 4. Ceramic-coated cookware. This type of cookware looks nice and seems like a safe option at first. After all, 100% ceramic is completely safe for cooking. However, ceramic coating usually hides some pretty nasty stuff in it. Soft ceramic coating isn't durable enough and starts chipping after a few months of daily use. When this happens, lead and cadmium sometimes found in the coating will end up in your food and thus in your body. Lead poisoning is one of the most dangerous types of metal poisoning and can result in abdominal pain, headaches, infertility, and often other health complications. In severe cases, it can even lead to coma and death. As for cadmium, it's toxic even in the tiniest amounts. If it gets into your body, it'll negatively impact all your various systems, starting with the cardiovascular and reproductive ones, and then moving on to your kidneys, eyes, and brain. In men, it messes with testosterone levels and damages prostate function. It can also do a real number on your bones. Yeah, none of this sounds very pleasant, does it? Even when ceramic coating is lead-free or doesn't contain cadmium, chipped cookware can still present a danger because it's usually neurotoxic aluminum hiding under that coating. Try this safe alternative instead. 100% ceramic cookware. This is one of the best and safest options out there since it's made with completely natural materials. It isn't toxic and it won't chip or peel off. It's also non-stick and dishwasher safe. Its only downside is that 100% ceramic can be pretty costly, but it will last you a very long time. Plus, after everything we've talked about today and all those horrible symptoms caused by toxic cookware, don't you think it's worth the investment? Did any of your cookware make this blacklist, or do you use the safe alternatives? Which one's your favorite? Tell us in the comments below. Don't forget to click subscribe to stay on the bright side of life.
Wow, that was the voice of doom, huh? I was really shocked about the aluminum foil thing. Usually you use aluminum foil to, keep cleanup at a minimum. And so I was really shocked to hear that aluminum foil was not so healthy to use. So that was a shocker for me. All right. So he did say that stainless steel was a good, safe alternative cooking item to use. So next up, we have audio from a video called Equipment Review, the best stainless steel skillet, our testing winners, and why All-Clad is worth it. This was also posted by America's Test Kitchen, so let's take a listen.
We love stainless steel skillets in the Test Kitchen. While cast iron, carbon steel, and even nonstick have been pushing them out of the limelight, these are still our top choice for golden uniform browning and to develop fond. A fond is the secret weapon of chefs. Those brown bits of stuck food at the bottom of your pan are the key to super flavorful dishes and pan sauces, but only if you have a high quality skillet, because bad pans leave fond that's skimpy or scorched. We also love that these pans are all metal. They can go right from the stovetop into the oven to finish cooking thicker cuts of meat and fish, or to bake skillet pies or skillet roast whole chickens. Unlike carbon steel or cast iron pans, stainless won't react with acidic foods, so you can cook without fear of metallic flavors or damaging the pan's seasoning. Plus, stainless will never wear out like nonstick. So, if you want perfect searing, super flavorful sauces, and cook anything stove-to-oven versatility for a lifetime, you need this pan. Now, we've had a longtime favorite. It's called the All-Clad D3 Stainless 12-inch Frying Pan with Lid, which sells for about $120. It may not look that special, but this pan has hidden technology. It's built from layers of different metals bonded together using a process patented in 1967 by a metallurgist called John Ulam, who founded the company All-Clad. When the whole pan is made this way with layers of metal, it's called fully clad, and it works like a charm. This pan has three layers, aluminum sandwiched on top and bottom by stainless steel. The layering means you get the best of both metals. Aluminum's fast heat conduction, controlled by slower transmitting heat retaining steel. And all that translates to beautiful, even golden browning. Now, sometimes you see pans that have clad bottoms. Those we call disc bottom pans, and you'll see a little seam along the side that shows you they literally stuck a disc of steel and aluminum onto the bottom of a thin steel pan. This is a much cheaper way to try to layer metals, and frankly, it just doesn't work as well, especially in a skillet. You get scorched food all around the edges where the disc doesn't reach, and the disc itself tends to heat very slowly and then get too hot. Skip disc bottom pans. Now, recently we've seen many more fully clad pans on the market. Some boast even more metal layers, plus other special features at pretty stunning prices. Even All-Clad launched a five-layer skillet, the D5 stainless, making us wonder if our old favorite was still the best choice. So we bought 15 fully clad 12-inch skillets, priced from $47.99 to $400. We put them through tons of cooking tests, browning onions, searing strip steaks and making pan sauce from the fond, sauteing green beans, pan roasting asparagus, and cooking a whole cut up chicken that starts on the stove and finishes in the oven, and then building a pan sauce from the drippings. We scrubbed the pans by hand and in the dishwasher. We checked for warping, then we even knocked them around to simulate years of use. These pans can be a great investment, but only if they last. The good news is that we cooked successfully in most of these pans, and where we saw major differences was in how easy they were to use.
Sadly, we had less success with cheaper pans priced less than $100. It seems that in this category, shelling out a little more money does pay off. First, size. While they're all 12-inch skillets, the sides slope differently, leaving you more or less actual cooking space. Some of the cheaper pans were just 8 inches across. We preferred pans with wide cooking surfaces from 9 1/4 to 10 and a half inches across. That let food fit without crowding so it could brown. If it's crowded, food steams instead of searing. But too big is not good either. The biggest skillets are also super heavy, as much as 4 1/4 pounds empty. Lifting these was no fun, especially when they were ripping hot from the oven full of sizzling chicken. Our favorite pan was much easier to maneuver. It weighs 2 3/4 pounds and has 9 1/2 inches of cooking surface. That gave it enough room to cook comfortably while feeling light and well-balanced, whether it was empty or full. Now, handle shape and size matter for your sense of control. Some of these handles were too thick or too thin, which strained our hands. And if they're too round and smooth, they often slipped in our hands. And that's especially scary when they're slippery with grease and full of hot food. What we liked were handles with angled shapes that didn't slip. Some of these also had a Y shape that was supposed to help the handle stay cool. That just didn't work. Most of them still got hot, especially right where we wanted to grab them. Our favorites stayed cool and actually let us skip potholders most of the time. Now, one thing about these big, heavy skillets, they have so-called helper handles. Those didn't help. They just added weight that threw the pans off balance, and they were useless when we needed to hold the pan up with one hand. They got hot. They trapped grime. You don't need helper handles on a skillet. In fact, these handles were a symptom of our lowest ranked pans, which were bigger and heavier overall, with shapes like saute pans. They were wide, they were heavy, they had tall sides with straight walls. And that's the kind of pan we prefer for braises and other liquid heavy dishes. A skillet works best if it's light, trim, and well balanced, with low flaring sides that encourage evaporation for better browning, not steaming or stewing. And do you need a 5-layer skillet? No. In our tests, 5 layers cooked about the same as 3 layers, so why pay almost $100 more for them? When we compared the all-clad D5 skillet to its 3-layer D3 skillet, the 5-layer pan was a bit heavier and cooked a bit more slowly. Now this makes sense since that 5-layer pan contains extra steel, and as you know, steel transmits heat more sluggishly than aluminum. Now other pans with 5 layers ranked even lower due to other design problems, and they also cost more. Now high-tech features on the pricey pans were mostly a bust. Do you really need nano-bonded titanium like on this fancy Heston skillet? It looks great, but we didn't see any functional benefit. In fact, the darker color only made it harder to monitor browning. And we had to constantly use its proprietary cleanser or it looked blotchy. It did cook nicely, but it seemed like a stretch to spend $400 for this pan. If we pay a lot for a pan, we expect great durability. After all our cooking tests, we checked to see if any pans had warped. Then we checked again after heating the pans to 500 degrees and plunging them into ice water, then striking them 3 times on a concrete block. Now here, the inexpensive pans had a real problem. 5 of the 8 warped just from routine use, and after our abuse tests, 3 of them had wiggly handles too. In the more expensive pans, only 1 showed very slight warping, and all the handles stayed solid. Now on all 15 pans, we could see dents where we'd struck them, ranging from pretty bad to barely there. Our old winner from All-Clad held up through all of this with no warping, an intact handle, and almost undetectable dents. Now, to understand why some pans were tougher, we consulted the Material Science and Engineering Department at MIT, where Mike Tarkanian explained that thicker pans would be less prone to warping and denting, and would tend to cook better, too. He said thinner pans would have less heat retention because there's less thermal mass, and they'd probably run a little hotter and have worse heat distribution. Sure enough, when we measured the thickness of their cooking surfaces, the best performing pans were 3 to 3.3 millimeters thick. Lower ranked pans were thinner, as low as 2.4 millimeters. This helped explain why some cheaper, thinner pans had had a problem maintaining heat. For instance, with steak, we'd get a great brown crust on the first side, but when we flipped to the second side, weaker pans seemed to lose heat and struggle, giving us poorer browning and skimpier fond. Tarkanian also ground into the pans so we could look at the metal layers under a microscope. We could see that some pans had different thicknesses of inner and outer layers of metal, which could also contribute to warping as they heat and cool at different rates. Now, in the end, while we recommended several of these pans, only one pan had it all. The All-Clad D3 stainless 12-inch frying pan, our old winner, it won again. At a moderate price of $120, it even includes a lid. It performs beautifully, it's easy to use, and it proved itself to be tough as nails. This is a pan that will last a lifetime.
All right, so I don't own anything stainless steel, so I don't really have anything to contribute as far as that subject goes, but they seem to think that the All-Clad brand of stainless steel skillets were the best at $120. All right, let's move on to the egg pod. Now, for those of you who have not seen this commercial on TV or heard it, this video was posted by Global Shop Direct, so let's go ahead and listen to that commercial.
If you love hard-boiled eggs but hate watching water boil, then tediously peeling off shells, you need Egg Pod, a new kind of microwave egg cooker that does all the work for you. Fresh eggs go in. Perfectly cooked eggs come out with the shells detached from the egg. Just slide and enjoy. Simply add water, place your eggs, then cook in the microwave. Next, simply shake in the egg pod and the shell slides right off. The secret is the microwave safe design that creates steam convection so your eggs cook evenly and consistently. Then as you shake, the textured dome gently releases the shell from the white so it slides right off. That's right, you just steam, shake and slide for ready to eat eggs anytime. And Egg Pod is faster and easier than traditional stovetop cooking. No broken egg whites, no peeling, and no watching a pot boil. Now you can easily make hard-boiled eggs for a delicious egg salad, or slice them for a hearty chef salad. Prepare tasty deviled eggs with ease, and sliced egg sandwiches that are sure to please. Egg Pod is great when you're in a hurry. Just pop it in the microwave and enjoy a healthy breakfast on the go. Compact and dishwasher safe, Egg Pod is easy to clean and easy to store too. So why make eggs the old-fashioned way when you can quickly prepare them the new way with Egg Pod? Call Global Shop Direct or go online now to order Egg Pod for the low price on your screen. With Egg Pod, you just steam, shake and slide for ready-to-eat eggs anytime. No broken egg whites, no peeling and no watching a pot boil. You'll love how evenly and consistently Egg Pod cooks your eggs. But if you're not completely satisfied, just send it back within 30 days for a full refund of the product price. Don't miss out on this incredible microwave egg cooker that does all the work for you. Order your Egg Pod today.
Now, I don't know who actually stands around and watches the water boil while their eggs are cooking, but they list that as a benefit. Let's go ahead and listen to what TV Stuff Reviews had to say. How did the Egg Pod perform for them? So let's go ahead and listen to that review.
Hey guys, it's Kimberly here with TV Stuff Reviews. Today we are going to be reviewing the Egg Pod. Apparently with the Egg Pod, you can make hard-boiled eggs in the microwave, so we're gonna test that out. Let's get started. Before we get started, make sure to like this video and hit the subscribe button and even the little bell notification so that way you'll get notified of when we review a new TV product. Okay, so we have our Egg Pod here and we have some eggs to test this out. So let's get out the Egg Pod. I've already opened up the box, but I have not opened up the Egg Pod. And this is what it looks like. Okay, so the first step is to unlock and open the Egg Pod, pull the tabs down. Okay, step number two is measure 50 milliliters of water using the provided measuring cup and fill the bottom of Egg Pod with water. So I got this, but it says with the provided measuring cup, which makes me think that there is actually a measuring cup for this. And there is. That's really nifty, actually. So I'm gonna go ahead and wash this out before I use it. Okay, so here is 50 milliliters of water. So now we're done with that. So now we have to put four eggs here. As you can see, there are four places to put the eggs. So you can make up to four eggs. Wow. All right. One, two, three, and four. Without cracking them, that's great. Make sure the lid is properly aligned with the base of the egg pod and pull the tabs up to lock. So let's put this bad boy back on here and pull the tabs back up. Step number five, place the unit into the microwave and cook for 9 minutes at a highest setting. Cooking times may vary, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we're gonna throw this in here for up to 9 minutes at the highest setting that this microwave has, and we will get back to you. All right. In 9 minutes, I should have perfectly hard-boiled eggs. We'll see if this thing works. Okay, so there are 30 seconds left, and I read that you have to wait for it to cool down in the microwave for 2 minutes, or else you could burn your hands. So we're gonna wait for it to cool for 2 minutes after it's done in the microwave, and there's 10 seconds left. So now we have to wait for 2 minutes. I can definitely feel that it's hot, but the handles are not very hot, so that's good. And now we have to put it under running cold water for 2 minutes. So here we go, and the tabs are down. There we go. Okay, these eggs are hot. Be careful that you don't burn yourself on this part because I could definitely see that happening. So now we're gonna run it under cold water for 2 minutes, which in my opinion is kind of wasteful of water, but. So we're gonna do that for 2 minutes. Okay, so now we're done running the cold water. So now there's water left in here and it's still, and I have to put the top back on, put it over that and shake it 10 times. Okay. Okay, so here's our egg pod. I put the tabs back on so water won't spill out, and now we have to shake it 10 times so that way the eggs crack. All right, here we go. 8, 9, 10. Okay, let's see what it looks like. Okay, so here are the eggs. They're cracked now. Okay, let's see if it boiled. So the shell comes off really easily, so that's nice. Wow, it worked.
Wow, it's perfect.
Oh. So the egg is hard. My mom got a little excited about this. So the egg is hard boiled here. And So it works. And I really like this a lot because I've always struggled with making hard boiled eggs. I've never gotten the right consistency in the inside. It's always been too runny. This really makes the perfect hard-boiled egg, so I would recommend it for people like me that really struggle with making hard-boiled eggs. But for people that are really economical and don't want to use a microwave for 9 minutes, or you have running water happening for 2 minutes, it may not be the right option for you. But for people like me, I would really recommend it, especially for people that are on the go. So that's my review. I was really impressed that it actually worked. I doubted that it would work, but it did. So overall, I would give this product a 5 out of 5. The ease of using this product was incredible, and it really helped my boiled egg struggle that I've had before. So I'm definitely going to be using it again. If you enjoyed this video, remember again to hit the subscribe button so that way you'll see new TV product reviews. See you next time.
All right, so on Amazon, the egg pod, the brand is Emson, and it got a 4.1 out of 5 stars out of 437 reviews, which isn't bad. I always say 4 stars is the go signal to buy if you're in the market for something like that. Egg pod by Emson Wireless Microwave Hard-Boiled Egg Maker, Cooker, Boiler, and Steamer. 4 perfectly cooked hard-boiled eggs in under 9 minutes as seen on TV. And as that review said, it wasn't under 9 minutes. 9 minutes in the microwave, then you had to wait 2 minutes to cool, and then 2 minutes to run under water. So it wasn't under 9 minutes. It's generally $23.99 on Amazon. And the customer reviews fell like this: 5 stars, 62%, 4 star, 14%, 3 stars, 10%, 2 stars, 4%, and 1 star, 10%. Now, the people that had a 5-star review generally, of course, liked it, but they had a couple of things to say. It says, only downside is with pot method, I could cook large number of eggs at a time instead of only 4. So with the pod, you can only cook 4. And the other one, the other 5-star, it says, wish water would empty out easier so you don't have to stretch out yellow gasket to get the water all out. And those were on the 5 stars. And usually 5 stars don't have any complaints, but they still had complaints. Now, the 1 stars, they complained about their microwaves exploding, eggs exploding inside, things like that. And I suspect, because we just heard from TV reviews, that she followed the directions to the T, including the amount of water and the amount of time to do each thing. I have a suspecting feeling that they did not follow the directions. One says, 4 minutes in, the microwave door blew open with a loud bang. There was exploded egg everywhere. The egg pod itself did not explode. The eggs inside did. And there were egg guts everywhere inside the microwave, the door, the cabinet, and the floor. So whether or not they, I mean, this one said they read through the instructions and watched the video. I don't know why it would work for one person but not another if you don't follow the directions, right? So then one person complained that they had an older microwave and it stopped their microwave from working. So I don't know, you know. Again, maybe that's the case. I don't know how old the microwave is, but, you know, so they're afraid to use it in a newer microwave because what if it doesn't work? Another one said said not dishwasher safe, even though in the demonstration they see them putting that in a dishwasher. But on the product itself, it says not dishwasher safe. So those are some of the downfalls. And we are nearing the end of our show. So I hope you enjoyed this show on just cooking topics. And if you have any questions on anything you've heard on the show, you can email me at consumerreviewreport@gmail.com. I'm also on Facebook at Consumer Review Report and on Twitter at CRR in McKeesport. So this is the Consumer Review Report on WMCK.FM Internet Radio, a service of Tube City Online, Tube City Community Media, Inc., and we're heard Sunday at 4 p.m. and Thursday at 9 a.m. Also, podcasts of these shows are available. I'm Diane Rebecca, wishing everyone a safe and good week.